Ladies, gentlemen, thank you for gathering in front of your radios this evening. I have summoned you to your listening devices for a particular purpose this week. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of you is a murderer. Earlier today, the body of Elroy Tattleton V, heir to the Tattleton brand Canary Toothpaste Fortune, was found dead in the park, between the statue of Al Waxman and the wax model of Al Statuman. He had been bludgeoned to death, and everyone listening to this program had a motive and an opportunity to commit this killing. For instance, you, Blair Crenshaw, Tattleton's ex-supermodel, former girlfriend, and five-time cover girl for Stump Aficionado. The autopsy indicated that there were several large contusions at the base of Mr. Tattleton's head that could have easily been caused by a Revlon brand peg leg just like yours. Suspicious indeed, especially since Mr. Tattleton broke up with you a mere 2 weeks ago after carrying on an affair with Missy Shanders, host of the popular children's program Medical Waste Mountain. And you, Marsha Pan in Gananoque, you had ample reason to want Mr. Tattleton dead, for it was Mr. Tattleton who wrote an investigative report for the Globe and Mail that revealed that the undocumented slave wage laborers at your garment factory in Honduras are not biodegradable. This eventually led you to declaring bankruptcy in a crowded theater, which is punishable by an $800 fine. And how about you, Jerry Belaski? In light of recent events, I am beginning to suspect that your ironic t-shirt, featuring a puppy in a laundry basket, saying, "I wanna murder Elroy Tattleton V, is not so ironic after all. And you, Patrick Hallahan, look at you. You're Irish. Everyone listening to this program is a potential murderer. Who knows, maybe there's more than one killer. Two or three of you might have teamed up to bring down the late Elroy. Multiple assailants raining an orgiastic stream of blows upon his body in a swirling bacchanalia of violence and glistening vitality. And beyond those who inflicted such punishment, one can easily imagine a crowd of cheering onlookers, hoisting giant foam fingers, or screaming obscenities at Mr. Tattleton with giant foam tongues. I like to imagine a rally of 800 people dressed in ceremonial black robes, selling corn dogs and a northern delicacy known as Faked Alaska. I envision a sort of murder carnival with homicide-based amusement park rides like the Bludgeon Blitz and the magical Massacre Music Box. And maybe a drown tank instead of a dunk tank. What? I'm sorry? What's that? Elliot in Brockville, did you ask me a question? Can you speak up a bit? Huh. Interesting. For the benefit of the rest of you listeners, Elliot asked me why I haven't included myself in the list of suspects. Well, I mean, I know I didn't do it. Don't I? Wait, Elliot, you had another question. Well, it is true that I hated him as much as the rest of you did. I will admit that. I mean, yes, the guy stole my girlfriend. And then, despite my specific instructions, he gave her back. Yeah, I hated him for that. I'll admit it, but I wouldn't kill anybody. But would I? The detective in me isn't so sure. Yeah, you did it, you mug. Tell me the truth. No, it wasn't me. Please believe me, me. I'm your best friend, me. Your only friend. That's right, besides that empty can of chickpeas you write on and lipstick. You know me, me. I wouldn't hurt a fly. Unless that fly said something snarky about Bronson Pinchot. Admit it. You're the culprit. Fine! I did it! You gotta help me, me! I'll bribe you, me! I'll pay you off with the only thing in the world that I hold dear. My poster for the movie Heartbreak Ridge that Clint Eastwood refused to sign. Sorry, me. No dice. You're going up the river. But before you do, I want you to know one thing. I'm selling off all 20 of your trading cards, commemorating untalented graffiti artists. Kiss those and your freedom. Goodbye, you crumb.
And
now chapter 3 of my novel. Cheese guns? He couldn't believe it. Cheese guns? He couldn't believe it. Cheese guns! He could not believe it. Cheese guns! He couldn't believe it. Cheese guns. End of chapter 3.
Welcome to this edition of Stories About Stories. I'm your host, Kate Hollemeyer. My guest this week is John Korn, an oral storyteller who has spent the last 20 years traveling across Canada, listening to the stories of strangers he's encountered along the way. Whether it's a wheat farmer in Saskatchewan, a poet in Newfoundland, or a carpenter in the Okanagan Valley, John has not only heard their tales, he's also committed them to memory. He says his method of oral storytelling connects us to our shared past in the face of a rapidly approaching and increasingly technology-based future. Mr. Korn, welcome to Stories About Stories.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
Now, you say you've collected over 200 stories during your travels, and you haven't written any of them down. What was your particular method of memorizing these stories?
Well, it's a unique process that combines rituals from both the New Hampshire Indigenous and the Swedish band camp traditions. After every meeting I took with one of my subjects, I'd retreat to the nearest woods, or, failing that, the men's shower in the local roller rink, and lie down on top of two wooden planks I'd whittled down, usually from a couple of stop signs in the area that I thought were unnecessary. Then my mind would just take flight, and after an hour of lying there, I'd open my eyes, and the story I'd just been told was in my brain, and it couldn't be moved, like some kind of flowery boulder of truth and light.
Wow. Well, if you wouldn't mind, would you tell us a story now? Would that be okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I understand that a homeless man in Nova Scotia told you a fascinating story about finding shelter in a snowstorm. Can you tell that particular tale?
Oh, yes. Yes, sure. Okay. Well, one night he was sitting outside of a bank asking people for change. And, it started to snow, yes? So then he had to get a lantern. And, so he was like, where's the lantern at? So he had to go to the pharmacy, and, he got one there.
Did he buy it with the change he'd collected?
No, because he didn't have enough, so he stole it. Or no, he tried to, but they caught him, so he went to jail. And so that's how he escaped the storm.
That's it?
That's the story.
He tried to steal a lantern from a pharmacy, got caught, and went to jail.
Yep. Crazy.
I'm sorry. It's just, your press release said this was one of the highlights of your repertoire. That story seems pretty anticlimactic.
Well, it's kind of remarkable that a pharmacy would sell lanterns. Some would say it's a bit unbelievable. Anyway, I have another one, if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Okay, well, a woman in Nunavut told me a fable that her grandmother often told her as a girl. It was about a crow, a magic crow, who decided to fly up into the sky as high as he could go, and he flew up so high that he eventually went through college. Yes, and then he...
Wait a minute. He went through college?
That's right. He spent
4 years in that big blue sky, getting a degree in business administration. He wasn't near the top of his graduating class, but he did just fine. Now he owns a chain of upscale laundromats for wealthy cows.
Oh, come on.
And then, at the end, the kid learned how to drive or something. Oh, actually, that might be the end of that movie, License to Drive.
Mr. Korn, just admit it. You haven't memorized these stories at all.
Okay. I haven't. I really thought I had these, man. I really did. But I guess I forgot them. Do you think this will be a problem?
Well, given the fact that your notoriety is based around memorizing these stories, the fact that you haven't memorized these stories may be an issue.
Damn it! Maybe you're right. I really hope you're wrong, though. I kind of think you are. Oh, just a sec. My agent just texted me. Looks like that speaking engagement at Dalhousie just got canceled. Must be weather problems or something. Oh, just a sec. Huh. Weird. The other 25 engagements I'd booked have been canceled now. Man, this recession, huh? Oh, crazy. Oh, hey, since we're talking about stories, can I tell you about the TV pilot I've written?
Fine.
Okay. So it's called None But the Brave. That's N-U-N. It's about a nun who is actually a total coward, so the title is really ironic. Anyway, she has to solve a murder every week, but the catch is she herself is always the killer. It's like Murder, She Wrote meets Dexter meets the flying nun, but with the flying replaced with stabbing.
Really?
Yeah, and we always know she did it, but she doesn't. She has amnesia, or maybe some like made-up memory kind of disorder, like diphtheria or something.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Sweetback's theme from the soundtrack to Sweet Sweetback's badass song. And now you're not. How does that make you feel?